It's time to take the quiz.
5 questions, 5 minutes a day, 5 days a week.
Take the quiz every weekday at thequiz.fox and then listen to the quiz podcast to find out how you did.
Play, share, and of course, listen to the quiz at thequiz.fox.
Live from Everywhere USA, it's Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla.
Jimmy, here we go. Here we go. Coming to you live from the greatest country in the world, broadcasting from the tippy top of the world famous Fox News headquarters in New York City. Big Friday episode of Fox Across America with your radio buddy, Jimmy Failla. We are going to spend the next 3 hours going on a bull hunt. Okay, we're hunting for bull. And I got news for you. It is everywhere you look in Washington, D.C.
Country is being destroyed by stupid people, by very stupid people.
We've got this wild migrant rush at the border yesterday, tried to overwhelm our border agents. That's an invasion. We're somehow just taking it. And as I speak to you and the show gets underway, Marjorie Taylor Greene is in front of reporters. She has just filed a motion to vacate the House speakership position held by Mike Johnson for like the last 2.5 hours. I got to be honest, the Republican Party.
That was embarrassing.
They all suck. It's Friday. The world's on fire. We're going to roast radio marshmallows and have a good time. But I'm telling you now, chippy show. It is going to be a very chippy show. One that will also include some of my favorites. Tyler Fisher, if you guys watch Gutfeld, a fantastic comedian. Does a great Trump impression. It's just genuinely, like, really funny. It's a good way for me to close the week and get in my space for tomorrow night's TV show, Fox News Saturday Night. We're also going to be talking to Jeff Hayes, who's producing the authorized documentary, The Real RFK Jr. Why is he on? Because this third-party thing is getting pretty intense, and now Jen Psaki is lashing out against RFK.
Psaki sucks. Kaylee was so much better.
And we will, of course, also sit down with Daniel Turner because he is going to talk to us about the Green New Deal that is being revived by Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez.
AOC is a dope.
888-788-9910 is the phone number, whether you agree with Lincoln's soundbite or you do not. There is no ideological barrier for entry to the program.
I don't care where you come from. I don't care what color you are. I don't care how smart you are. I don't care how dumb you are.
No, ma'am. Okay, you can be a Republican, you can be a Democrat, Libertarian, Independent. Just don't be a... Boom! Happy Friday. I'm in a great mood, man. I'm going to see the Sean Hannity show later this evening, the close of the week. Sean and I will do our usual Friday night segment. And tomorrow on Fox News Saturday Night, we have Martha McCallum on the show. I don't know what you know about where I work, where you're listening around the country. I work at Fox News, obviously, on the TV side. The show I'm referring to is Fox News Saturday Night, my TV show that I host. We're going into episode 11. Martha McCallum is the coolest person you might ever meet in your life. Like, she's brilliant, but you watch her host a news show every day where she's giving you very accurate reporting. She is one half of our election night coverage here on the Fox News Channel. She is the person that will look into the camera at some point in November when we finally get done counting the votes and tell you who the winner of the 2024 election happens to be. Okay, that's the way it goes down.
I keep forgetting I'm president.
You know, I don't doubt it, okay? And he might have to forget it for good, depending on what comes out of Martha's voice that night. But I'm so excited to show the world the cool Martha. And I'm not saying she's not cool on her show. She doesn't have funny moments on her show. But she's so cool. Like, if you were socially hanging out with her, you'd be like, wow, she's cool. She likes, like, 80s hair bands. You know what I'm saying? Like, she's funny. She's social. She has a take. She's come to some of my stand-up shows. She's really, really cool. So I'm so thrilled that she is on the show because she's one of those people at Fox that's been super supportive of my career that makes me look a lot more credible than I happen to be.
That's true. That is true.
I am a mess. I mean, that is the superpower. But there are a lot of non-messes who have supported my ascent, and for that, I am very thankful. I'm going to circle back on this Republican thing. Marjorie Taylor Greene has essentially filed a motion to get Johnson out of there. Now, if it meets the threshold, which I think it may, okay, the Democrats might very well may just vote to let this go through. That's how they nuked McCarthy, because every time the Republicans demonstrate a more chaotic take in the House where they control the power of the purse, it makes life that much harder for them come November. What case can you make for the Republicans being in charge of the House of Representatives if they keep firing speakers, number one, and agreeing to last-minute, middle-of-the-night budget deals that screw the country, number two? So Johnson has reached a bad budget deal. So for that, you know, I'm not thrilled with his performance. I almost agree with Marjorie Taylor Greene in that, you know, this guy is inept or he's doing us dirty. I don't know the answer. Maybe a little too establishment at the end of the day. But compromise at the same time should not always be demonized, because the reality is this government has never been zero sum. There's never been a bill where the Republicans got 100% of what they wanted and the Democrats got zero, or vice versa. And there's never going to be a bill. And the people who agitate you professionally in media are really doing this country a disservice. Because if you just say, oh, the Democrats want to destroy America from within, it's a lie. It's not true. They might have different values than you. They might have a different plan of how they think they're going to improve the country. They think, you know, they think green energy is the direction we're supposed to go in.
They're crazy.
Okay, at the very least, they're dishonest. Okay, because we don't have the wherewithal to do it right now. And if we phase out fossil fuels completely, we're all going to die in like an hour and a half. So what's their motivation to push it as hard as they are, as quick as they are?
Money, 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 money.
And that's just reality. But it doesn't mean they want to destroy America. But the problem with them, you know, us saying they want to destroy the country is no different than the problem with Democrats saying Republicans are going to destroy democracy. It's on the ballot. They're white supremacists. You don't understand. If you convince your side that the other side is literally the devil, then it's physically impossible to justify any type of a compromise.
I think he's got a point.
That's where we find ourselves right now in our politics. If every night people get on TV and go, oh, the Republicans are Hitler, then it's really hard for Democratic leadership to make a deal with the Republicans. How dare you give them what they want? You just told us they were Hitler. You can't help the guy out. And it's no differently than if the Republicans say the Democrats are all a bunch of socialist Marxists trying to destroy the country. Some of them, okay, are socialists, no two ways about it. But I don't believe their intent is to destroy the country. Are some of them stupid? Do they not have realistic ideas? Yes. But that's where the compromise comes in. We make concessions and we don't let perfect get in the way of better. Okay, you're never going to get a perfect bill. I understand that. The problem we have right now with the Mike Johnsons of the world is it's not so much a compromise where we each get a little bit of what the Republicans want, a little bit of what the Democrats want. Right now, for all intents and purposes, Mike Johnson is on the receiving end of a 70-30 split. Okay, this latest bill, when we get into some of the things it highlights, is a bad split. But when you start to talk about vacating the speakership right now, okay, it's frickin' almost April. The election's in November. You're going to hand them, I think, your third or fourth speaker since you took back the House of Representatives? Clown stuff. You look like clowns. And Marjorie Taylor Greene leading this motion is absolutely positively also because she's a bit of a clown. She's an influencer. And I know we're on WGAU down in Athens, and I say this with great respect. She likes the spotlight, but it's not a spotlight, okay, that's necessarily improving anything in this country. It's just a spotlight. We have a lot of people in Washington that want to be social media influencers. Congress is their side hustle. I do at times consider her one of those people, and that doesn't mean I'm okay with the bill Mike Johnson passed. But what you understand is the Republicans need to win in November if they want to fix anything they purport to care about. Like last night at the border, okay, you've got razor wire up in El Paso. Okay, you've got a border wall up in El Paso. Okay, you get a few hundred migrants that group up at the border and just storm the border. Like we're breaking into your country. Guys, between you and me, does that sound like a peaceful asylum seeker? But this is what we've been letting in for the last 3 years. Military age men. They're not showing up with families. They're showing up single. Guys, if it's asylum, if you and your family are fleeing oppression and hostility from a regime, from a drug cartel, okay, you're not leaving your family. I mean, you're leaving them if you're a scumbag, excuse my language, and you're just turning your back on them, which some guys do. They don't man up and accept the role of being a provider, which means their interests have to come ahead of yours. Some guys just don't do that. That's a, you know, it's one of the biggest challenges facing society. It's a lot of men, you know, who get the at bat and just whiff. Or they, you know, it's, no, now I'm going to pick up the bat on this one. Yeah, I had a kid. Big, I'm out of here. That's a bill. I'm not doing that. I don't even like the mom. Okay, but the reality is if people embrace their roles as providers, put the needs of other people bigger than themselves, that's what the coolest thing about forming a family is. Okay, you can create a better good, a greater good. You contribute to a society where people are prospering because we're all doing our individual jobs. I make that point every day on this show. You look at America like it's a football team. Okay, for a football team to win, people need to do their jobs. The center needs to do his job on the offensive line, the left guard, the left tackle, the right tackle, the tight end, the running back, the fullbacks, the wide receivers, the X-backs, the Z-backs, the wildcat, whatever the hell you're doing with that formation, everybody in it needs to do their job. Okay, in America, dads need to do their job. Moms need to do their jobs. People need to do their jobs. Okay, and we have been at, I guess, what can only be described as a shortage of adequately functioning parents that have created so many problems. But when you look at the border, okay, that's what you're importing in a lot of these instances, are more of the bad parents. Some are bringing their families, but the guy, you know, you see all these single men lining up at the border. It's not kids and wives and daughters rushing the border. Okay, it's military age men who are not bringing families. These are not, you know, people trying to contribute to our society. These are people that are taking advantage of a lax border policy. And they're so entitled to being here, they're willing to attack our border agents. Okay, here's Jason Owens, the Border Patrol chief. He's the guy in charge, okay, saying that we need consequences for coming here illegally. Here it is, clip one.
Everything revolves around being able to deliver a consequence for an action that you don't want a person to commit. If people know that there's going to be a consequence for breaking the law, they're going to be less likely to do it. The other piece of that is you need the agents out on patrol to be able to enforce that consequence. I'm talking about jail time. I'm talking about being removed from the country. And I'm talking about being banned from being able to come back because you chose to come in the illegal way instead of the established lawful pathways that we set for you.
Do you get it? Okay. You should be put in jail. You should be denied entry. Guys, we have laws in this country. The only reason anyone listening to this can go to the store right now, take your family out to dinner, go watch a ball game, is because we are still sort of enforcing our laws. Okay, when the rule of law goes away, you're not safe. There's no consequence for the people harming you. And we're seeing that far too much already in our society. But when you look at the southern border specifically, if the first thing they're doing is an American, and I don't mean a legal American, but the first thing they're doing as a guest in this country is breaking the law. They're telling you they don't have respect for law and order. They're coming here illegally. Their opener is breaking the law. The first thing, I'm not talking about week two or week five, which is also a problem. I'm talking about the first thing. They open by breaking the law. Okay. Here's a Democratic reaction to what we saw at the border. Okay, I'll give you one from Chris Olivares, who reacted to the migrants bursting through the razor wire. Then I'll give you the Democrat take on this. Clip three.
I don't know what more of an example we need to clearly show and justify that we have an invasion on our border than what you're seeing in that video right now. I mean, right now, this happened earlier this morning in El Paso. Approximately 600 illegal immigrants, majority were from Venezuela, and majority were single adult men that were in that group that actually contributed to breaching those physical barriers and getting across unlawfully, complete disrespect. Disrespect for our laws in Texas, complete disrespect for the sovereignty of our state, and most important, disrespect for our soldiers and troopers that are on the front line.
Think about that, okay? 600 migrants from Venezuela, mostly single men.
this could be a problem.
It's a big problem. Why? Because Venezuela has openly announced they're emptying their prisons. They're emptying their prisons, just pointing them towards America because we have a president who's just taking them in.
You have no idea how to defend a nation.
And here's the Democratic reaction to that video, which is a very dramatic video. Guys, it's our border. And it's people like physically attacking our border to get into our country. Do these sound like peaceful people?
The answer would be no.
No. Here it is, clip four.
I mean, when you look at this video, it's pretty dramatic.
Yeah, I haven't seen the video.
I'm playing it right now.
Yeah, all right, thank you.
Scumbag.
It's not just about security. It's about a humane process to treat folks as they're coming in.
Clown.
Many of whom we know are seeking dire circumstances. Both border security and humane immigration reform need to both happen.
Do you think that's what would stop this?
I think that is ultimately the answer.
I mean,
garbage like you just makes me sick.
Okay, so that's Garcia from California. Okay, Pete Aguiar, she's showing him the video. Look at this video. It's pretty dramatic. Yeah, I haven't seen it. I'm showing it to you right now. Yeah, gotta go. I mean, what
an idiot.
It's worse than that. And then Aguiar, I'm out of here. Garcia, it's not about security. It's about security and humane immigration reform. And Premier Jayapal says, yeah. Okay, again and again and again. They're not coming. They're not coming because of immigration reform. They're coming because we're letting them in at the expense of everybody in this country.
We have people in Washington that don't know what they're doing.
A show that's taking orders from the big man upstairs.
We're on a mission from God.
This is Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla.
Guys, are you the same guy that you were 10 years ago? Everybody's been there. You wake up one morning, you feel like you're getting old, man. Stuff hurts. What do I do? One idea is to use the powerful testosterone booster in Nugenix Total T because it will revive your energy. It'll power up the workouts, might even put the old fire back in the bedroom. Hey, girl, your old self is back. You'll feel amazing on this stuff. So tap the brakes on the aging process because every day that passes is a day you lose testosterone. That means less muscle, means less energy, and it does mean less get up and go in the bedroom. And are you really ready to lose all of it? The shape, the muscle, the energy. Are you ready to get old? Okay, you don't have to. You can slow it down with Nugenix Total T. It boosts free and total testosterone. It helps you get the old fire back at work, in the gym, and in the bedroom. Nugenix Total T Testosterone Booster with Tesner. It'll help you turn back the clock and re-energize your life and prove it to yourself. Try Nugenix Total T before you buy. There is nothing to lose. Get a complimentary bottle of Nugenix Total Tea when you text 231-231 and enter the keyword Jimmy. Text now and get a bottle of Nugenix Thermo X, the newest and most powerful fat incinerator ever with key ingredients to help you lose fat and get lean fast. It is absolutely free. Your complimentary bottle awaits. Text 231-231 and enter keyword Jimmy. Text 231-231 and enter the keyword Jimmy.
Texting enrolls you into recurring automated text messages. Consent not required to purchase. Message and data rates apply. Number one doctor recommended brand by primary care physicians based on an independent survey conducted by IQVIA 2022.
Oh, girl, it is Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla. Callers are fired up. We're going to get some calls in the next break. 888-788-9910. What's going on at the border, man? Ho-ho! Ho-ho! Listen, I did this to Lincoln again last night. Me and Jenny were talking to Lincoln about fentanyl. He's like, I know this lecture about...
Shut up! Will you shut up?
I will give this lecture every damn day for... as long as the Democrats are in charge of the border. I'm just speaking to parents out there or anybody who does recreational drugs. It is not the 90s. It is not the 80s. Okay, I knew a lot of kids who did drugs. And, you know, some of them got in trouble, bottomed out, did bad things. Some of them did okay. But the point I'm trying to make is the vast majority of them lived. Okay, we're now living in a world where people take drugs once and die. They're not drug users. They're not regular users. They are people who take an Adderall or something that they think is a prescription and then die. Okay? The world's not supposed to work that way. But they've been derelict in their duty to secure the border. And that's why we find ourselves in this position. And I make these points a lot as a parent because I'm one of the people in media who cares. I get on the air and I want to help. That's the point. Okay, I've been helped. I have the best drinking stories ever. I was a cab driver. I'm now sort of famous. I get recognized everywhere I go. Okay, it's cool. It's really cool. I've been helped. I got a nice wife. I got a I got a nice wife, and I guess what I would describe as a so-so kid.
Shut your mouth.
But the point is, I'm having a good time, and I want other people to have one too. So we got to get our S together in the next break. We'll get to your calls, texts, tweets, carrier pigeons, the whole barnyard jamboree. It's going down after this on Fox Across America. There it is, Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla. Let me get to the phones in a second. 888-788-9910. That is the phone number. I'm in good spirits. This is my last weekend in New York. And then I am gone the entire month of April. It's going to be wild. We're going out to Helena, Montana next Friday night, March the 29th. We will be in Spokane, Washington, Saturday, March the 30th. Then the following weekend, April the 5th, it's a Friday night, we're at the Federal Way Performing Arts Center again, right there in Federal Way. We're bringing a TV show to that one. We're going to film some stuff for the show. April the 6th, I will be at the Egyptian Theater in Boise. You'll see the TV crew there as well. And then we go, oh, my goodness gracious. It's intense, dude. Okay, so we go. Listen to the schedule and tell me if this makes any sense to you. Okay. Because it's the way the rest of the month rolls, it's just psychotic. Then we go down to Alabama, okay, which is, of course, the Mars Music Hall. That is in Huntsville, okay? Then, you didn't hear this from me, but on the 20th, we are going to Fargo, all you listeners on the flag. That is confirmed. Saturday night, April the 20th. Then the following weekend, I'm down in the swamp. And I'm doing my TV show live. I'll be at the White House Correspondents' Dinner. So Friday night, the 26th, we go to the media, big media parties that all the agencies represent, the TV talent, and everybody hobnobs and acts cool. And everybody's kind of friendly. I think I might have told you this story. 2 years ago, the White House Correspondents' Dinner, I had a beer with Jen Psaki. She was friendly as hell. Next night on the red carpet at the actual White House Correspondents' Dinner, the cameras come on. She looked at me like, get the F away. I don't know who you are.
That's just how white folks will do
you. Isn't that funny? Last year at the pre-party for the correspondence dinner, I met Kamala's husband, Doug Emhoff. And he was actually, I found him to be a nice guy.
Kamala's awful with her weird laugh. Ha ha!
I mean, yeah, he was double fisting. Come to think of it. But you know what? If you were married to Kamala, you might be double fisting too. But no, he was actually a really nice guy. So I'll be on the road the entire month of April, every single weekend anyway. I'll be here with you on the radio, but when the weekend comes, I am skipping town, getting out of here. But right now I'm here, and we're going to get into your calls in a second. I just wanted to read you one more thing. This is real data. Okay. This is so crazy, okay? This is bananas, okay? Venezuelans that stormed our border, okay, yesterday, stormed the border. 600 single military-age men stormed the border. Not asylum seekers, not families looking to make a better life. Single men from Venezuela, where they just emptied the prisons.
That can't be good.
Not good. Okay, so 600 men from Venezuela line up at the border. Okay, they rush the border. The reason they rush the border and they don't care about the consequence of breaking through and getting apprehended by law enforcement is because we have an arrangement where we can't send people back to Venezuela. Okay, they refuse to take repatriation flights from the United States. They're designated as a recalcitrant country. What that means is if you break into our country from Venezuela, they won't take you back. Now, why won't they take you back? They won't take you back because the people they're sending here are the worst human beings alive. They don't want them in their country.
Correctamundo.
So Venezuela does not, like, if we catch a Venezuelan migrant at the border, we can't send him back. Will Mexico take him instead?
The answer would be no.
No, no country will. Okay, this is who's rushing your border. Okay, again, decent, hardworking people trying to make a better life for their families have enough respect for society that they don't try to trample uniformed officers of the law to get there. But in Venezuela, they do. In fiscal year 2023, these are the real numbers, fiscal year 2023, okay, according to ICE, Immigration Customs Enforcement, ICE, the guys in charge of deporting the bad guys, drug dealers, murderers, rapists, everything in between. Here are the actual numbers from ICE. 335,000 Venezuelans encountered at the border alone last year. 335,000. But according to ICE data, only 834 of them, only 834 of them were deported. So 335,000 people broke in, and Biden let 334,000 of them stay.
We really are being laughed at and scoffed at throughout the world. They're not respecting our country the way they used to.
According to ICE data, not Fox data, some right-wing flamethrower. I'm just your friend, man, or your buddy, or your teammate, whatever you want me to be. I don't know. We haven't really had the what are we talk. I've only been on the air 4 years, a little new and a little early in the relationship. For the what are we talk. But if you're listening to the show as a liberal, like, I'm not your enemy. I'm just an American like you, man. Like, as the country goes, we go. I'm your teammate. And everybody kind of misleads you when it comes to that sort of thing. Okay, if there's a war tomorrow, we're all on the same side. Most of us, anyway. Some of you dirtbags probably root for the other side. But according to ICE data, the non-detained docket is at 6.2 million people, which includes former final orders of removal, pending cases, and TA cases. So we have taken in 6.2 million people that we know of. We've sent 834 people back. And there's another 3 to 4 million known gotaways, meaning known gotaways that we know of. People who crossed the border, we didn't catch them. We count that, according to our estimations, at 3 to 4 million that we know of. Meaning there are others, you understand, that we don't even know of.
Biden sucks.
And we're only having this conversation because when they got into office, when the Democrats took back power, Biden signed over 90 executive orders reversing Trump's immigration policies. Did it for two reasons. One was they ran on we should be building bridges, not walls.
That's stupid. Use your common sense.
Guys, nobody is building a bridge onto their property for anybody who wants to show up from anywhere in the world to spend time with your family. Okay, you have a door. You have the opposite. You shut it at night. You lock the thing. You want to know who's coming in or out. Okay, every country but us is doing the same thing. You can't show up to another country with no documentation and just say, I live here now. And they're like, great, here's a check and a hotel room and we'll pay for your food. Welcome. Okay, we're the only people in the world doing that. Only people. These are people who are breaking our law. We're the only people doing that. So you understand, Biden signed all these executive orders because they ran on racism. Border security equals racism. You can't secure the border. That means you must not like these people. When in truth, nobody pushing for border wall funding is saying you can't come. They're saying you got to come legally. It's safer for them, safer for us, cheaper in the long run, too. Okay, but Biden signed those executive orders because it was a political strategy to demonize border security, which the Democrats used to fund as suddenly racist. And they also did want the cheap labor, and they did want the votes. And a year ago, if you said, oh, they're just trying to change the demographics, they'd go, oh, what racist. Get the Klansmen out of here. Oh, is this the great replacement theory? Listen to this guy. But you know what they say now? Republicans just can't handle that the Democrats, not the Democrats, but that the demographics are changing in this country, which is a way of saying, yeah, they're changing because you're changing them, okay, by design. They want illegal immigrants counted in the census. That was the biggest controversy in Trump's first few months in office. He wanted the census to not count people living in the country illegally. Not count people living in the country illegally. Why? Because they should not have the same rights as you and me who pay taxes. They broke the law to get here. Okay, but the reason the Democrats wanted them counted, because counting them, you understand, changes how we allocate federal funding to individual districts of Congress. It also changes how we zone individual districts of Congress, which means if we count illegal immigrants, you can redraw the election map and give the Democrats an advantage where they have more migrants living. Okay, that's what they're doing.
Ah, you have a good eye, my man.
You don't even have to have a good eye. He admit to doing it now. Okay, it's an invasion. It is not migration. It is not we're looking for a better life. It is not give us you're tired, you're poor. This is not the Emma Lazarus poem on the Statue of Liberty. These are people breaking into the country. Jerry's in Texas. He knows. Jerry!
Hey, Jimmy, how you doing?
I'm doing, man. I'm fired up on this one. This is nuts.
Hey, you're going to be the luckiest man this weekend.
Uh-oh, I'm listening.
Yeah, you're getting out of New York.
You better believe it. Gone.
Yeah. Jimmy, they finally said it. Mm-hmm. Invasion. These are not immigrants, dude. They're invaders.
Yep. They literally tried to break in like it was a game of Red Rover. Go ahead.
Yeah. But I was actually tempted to call you yesterday, man, because they kept saying undocumented immigrants. No.
Yep.
You want to be an immigrant? Do it right.
Yep. And that's the point. Nobody's saying they can't come. Nobody's saying any of the things the Democrats are claiming. The Democrats are claiming we want a secure border because we're all a bunch of racists. And it's like the cheapest, laziest thing in the world. And if you watch people actually try to overwhelm law enforcement with force, good, decent people don't do that. That's everything you need to know. Okay, if somebody listening to this had a guy who was picking up their daughter for a date on a Friday night, and on his way up the driveway, he punched a cop in the face and climbed over the guy to get to your front door, you're probably not letting your daughter go out with the guy. You know what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
Nuts. I mean, you get it.
Yeah, but that's my 2 cents on it, Jimmy.
Well, I think it was worth at least 5. Good job, Jerry. Take care. 888-788-9910. This is the point I'm trying to make. Okay, everybody, both political parties, this is not even admissible in discussion. The Republicans are not saying we don't want migrants. They're not saying that. They're saying come here legally, pay taxes, get in line, don't cut the line, okay, and assimilate, be an American. You can keep your traditions, keep your food, keep your customs, keep your religion. That's the whole point of America, is that you do whatever the hell you want.
Freedom!
But you should be coming here because you love this place, you're grateful for the opportunity, and you want to contribute to some sort of a greater good, some sort of a stability. Okay, the people bringing unrest to the border aren't going to stop once they get in. If your opening act is, I think I'll attack these border agents, okay, they're attacking the people with guns and uniforms and badges and backup. Okay, do you think they're scared to attack you or me? I mean, this is horrific. We've got this heartbreaking Lake and Riley story down there, okay, in Georgia. Everybody listening in Athens on WGAU knows all about it. Okay, now we've got another missing student in Nashville. After leaving a bar earlier this month, we don't have the actual details as to how that went down. But this poor fellow was just found. They just found his body. It's heartbreaking stuff, man. You know, and I don't know that that's attributable to illegal immigration yet, so I want to be responsible with what I'm telling you. But the point I'm trying to make is we have enough crime. We have enough suffering, okay, without letting gangbangers from Venezuela who are being let out of prisons to come here just right into the country. Like, I really want you to think about this. If you're a liberal and you're like, this Fox News guy. Okay, maybe. I don't know. Maybe that's all this is. Okay. But if none of the countries between here and Venezuela are willing to accept the people coming from Mexico or from Venezuela anyway, if none of the countries are willing to let us deport back to them these particular people, doesn't it make you wonder about the quality of these individuals? I suppose you could say to me, well, you know, these countries just don't take migrants back because then they get more migrants. No, they don't want these people. So why the hell do we? We're supposed to be the shining city on the hill, the best of the best. If you make a case that you belong here, yeah, come on down. If you got something to contribute, yeah, come on down. But this idea that anyone should be okay with guys attacking uniformed officers to get into the country because they know we can't deport them tells you everything you need to know about the quality of these individuals. Okay, and that's the part where, you know, we're supposed to find common ground. Okay, you can tell me the Republicans have a different view on how we could write immigration reform, or the Democrats want to, you know, change the process. Fine, we could disagree on that. But we should all be able to agree that if someone's first foot on American soil is placed into the face of a Border Patrol agent, this is not a person that reflects or respects our values.
When you're right, you're right, and you're right.
And if you can just start there, that's the whole point of the show, is common culture, is you could make progress as a country. We're not making it right now. Like, they fight for power. That's the problem. On both sides, harder than they fight for progress. Now, the Republicans, to their credit, under Donald Trump, had secured the border. I'm not saying people couldn't get in, but the highest number of illegal immigrants under Trump, I think, hit 400,000 in a year. Guys, we're doing 3 million a year right now. 3 million that we know of. Like, that's crazy. And Trump was allowed to deport people, not as much as Obama. I mean, as crazy as, you know, the Democrats got about, you know, Trump deporting people, Obama was the record holder because he recognized the value of border security to his credit. So did Bill Clinton. So did every Democrat before him. OK, it's only when it became trendy to put feelings over facts that we started to reverse principles we all agreed on. OK, but that was being done to win an election. But it's the thing I say a lot. It's like, if that's the goal, if the only goal we have as a country now is for our side to win an election, we just all end up losing. That's all this is.
What can I tell you, kid? You're right. When you're right, you're right. And you're right.
The show that's crashing the establishment party.
I don't recall seeing your name on the guest list.
Nothing to be embarrassed about. I sometimes go by my maiden name.
You're listening to Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla.
It's a crazy one over here on Fox Across America. I'm bringing in some backup. Steven's out in the Lake of the Ozarks to help me make this case. Steven!
What?
Good for you. You called me, you jerk! Anyway, happy Friday, all that stuff.
Same to you, buddy. Same to you.
Yeah, break this news to the audience.
Yeah, I keep calling you late, and I'm so sorry. The two points that I wanted to make. One, first, the thing in New York City with Trump on everybody $454 million, they're trying to send him to jail because he overpriced his his stuff, right?
Yep.
Well, if he's paid taxes on that, don't they owe him some money?
That's a great point, and I'm going to make a better one in the next hour because the judges holding him accountable. Why? Because they said he overvalued Mar-a-Lago. The judge said Mar-a-Lago was worth $18 million. I'm going to play a clip in the next hour where CNN recommends that he sells Mar-a-Lago for $240 million. It's worth $240 million is the point.
Yeah.
Crazy.
Exactly. So second point is, I heard on Fox News today, they're fixing to give illegal immigrants guns.
Yes.
Either the Fifth Circuit or the Ninth Circuit said that they're going to be able to carry guns because of the Second Amendment.
Yep.
But yet they're trying to shut the Second Amendment down.
Well, this is what's so fascinating is, they're trying to give them the rights that would be guaranteed a citizen. So it's almost like citizenship doesn't mean anything anymore under this administration. Like, that's a scam. So it's a good point. And I'm glad the hour's over, Steve, so I don't have to keep everybody in this mood. Don't worry, guys. We'll cheer. Thanks, man. Have a great weekend. Don't worry. We'll turn it around in the next hour. Don't let Steve get you all worked up. We've got other things. It shouldn't just be Steve's call alone. The world's on fire. We're going to roast Radio Marshmallows for a multitude of reasons when we come back.
Live from everywhere USA, it's Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla.
Oh, girl, here we go. Here we go. Big hour coming up on Fox Across America with your radio buddy, Jimmy Failla. We say the show is an audio safe space for cool people. I don't mean like you're the Fonz, like you have a pack of cigarettes under your arm, like you're trendy or hip. I mean, that would require me to be trendy or hip, and that's not going to work. The point is you're cool. We can have a conversation. We can agree to disagree. Remember, agree to disagree, and we were still friends. It doesn't work anyway that way now. Now we're all a bunch of fat, screaming children at our birthday party. Mom, I want them out of here. He didn't like my take on Duck Duck Goose. Get him out. That's what we are now. Mom, we disagree on the border. I want him out of here. We're not doing that on this show. I say it all the time. There's no ideological barrier for entry.
I don't care where you come from. I don't care what color you are. I don't care how smart you are. I don't care how dumb you are.
No, ma'am. You are all welcome. It is not a conservative talk show. It is an American talk show.
Freedom!
That's all. So you can be a Republican. Be a Democrat, Libertarian, Independent. Could be a member of the Whig Party, like Donald Trump.
This guy will say anything.
I'm just being silly. But the point is, just don't be a... There it is. As we roll on a Friday, I am joined at the top of the hour by a man I can confidently tell you is not a... No, ma'am. He is. That is not his official business title. He's the founder and the executive director of Power of the Future, a fan favorite on this show. Daniel Turner is in the house. People are excited.
They are.
You can hear that energy.
It is awesome to be in studio.
It matters.
It really is. It's great to be with you.
Well, thank you. Because they don't cheer like that for just anybody.
No.
I've heard them boo.
It's the body language.
I've seen walkouts. Yeah. That was a sincere.
No, look at them. They're all thrilled.
That was a sincere cheer. These are very
Thank
fired
you.
Up. Some of them are still. Yeah, wow, you're still getting. Yeah, the gallery is clapping. They like Daniel
Wait
Turner.
To
I
them
don't
up
get
there.
Thank
Thanks,
you, kids.
Folks.
They like Daniel Turner. So I, you know, you're scheduled to be on the show in this hour, but I'm forcing you to do extra labor here. I hope I'm not violating some radio labor law.
No.
But we were doing a green energy roundup. And I can walk through this with you and give them a more informed conversation than if I just read Mikey's outline. I mean, Mikey's outline's fine, but he also forgets to delete the adult websites he goes to. So at some point I start reading dialogue I probably shouldn't in a place of business. I'm like, wait a minute. She's not a nurse at all. What's going on here? What's even happening here?
Close those tabs, Mikey. Close those tabs before you hit print.
Mikey's following Marjorie Taylor Greene energy, if you're picking up what I'm putting down. You know, just videos of women doing pull-ups. I'm like, what's happening here? I don't even know what's happening. But it sounds Daniel Turner, and it's great to see him. It sounds like AOC, Bernie Sanders, are trying to relaunch the Green New Deal.
Yeah.
Is that what I'm being told?
Yeah, and they just added a new clause. It's the Green New Deal for housing.
Uh-huh.
So if you just add Green New Deal and, you know, insert the parentheses, it can be for anything.
This is like the movie Spaceballs. Spaceballs the flamethrower.
Exactly.
The kids love this one.
Green New Deal for toilet paper, Green New Deal for education, Green New Deal for whatever you want to do, whatever progressive issue item you have. You just add Green New Deal on the front of it. And no, we definitely have a housing problem in this country. There's no doubt. But the Green New Deal, it's not climate related. And anyone who tries to tell you that is trying to sell something.
That's the part I think that gets me a little bit. It's like even in New York. So we're going through this thing right now. It's fascinating. They're trying to pass congestion pricing in the city.
It always comes up when I'm with you because we both hate it so much.
And we've had this conversation. Okay. The biggest cause of pollution is traffic.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not the amount of vehicles coming in. It's the fact that they've shrunk the amount of lanes.
Yep.
They did this to accommodate bicycles. They were like, bicycles. They don't pollute. Except there's not a guy pedaling the bicycle anywhere on the island of Manhattan. They all have engines. Every delivery guy, because that's who's on the bicycles, has an engine.
Yeah.
There's not even the city bikes have engines now.
I arrived yesterday on Amtrak.
Uh-huh.
And I was thinking of you as I was taking the taxi. And my hotel was about 30 blocks. If it were shorter, I would walk it, but it's cold still in New York, and it's a good 30 blocks, and I have my luggage because I'm going to go visit mom for the weekend.
Damn
and
right.
As I was going up 8th Avenue, I realized it was two lanes, and 8th Avenue used to be four lanes of traffic and then parking on either side. Mm-hmm. It's a six-lane road, and now there is the dedicated bike lanes,
mm-hmm.
there are dedicated bus lanes, and you are shrunk down to two. So it took me almost 40 minutes to go a mile and a half.
The minute you approach 42nd Street on 8th, 10th, any of those avenues.
Two lanes.
Yeah, you're now in like bumper to bumper traffic till you merge through that intersection.
Yeah.
And then the entire trip north is the same.
And you could find out probably without doing much research. Not you, not Mikey, but like someone in the political world. You could see how many car registrations there are. I guarantee you we don't have more vehicles on the island
than we did
10 years ago.
No
chance. We just have fewer lanes.
That's
every single road has shrunk. And then these stupid pedestrian plazas, you know, especially all around Times Square, where everyone is shirtless and taking their tops off.
Don't knock the topless. I am not going to stand here. No, but let's have this conversation. So if I didn't tell you this story before, forgive me because you should have heard it by now. I was a cab driver when Bloomberg implemented the pedestrian plaza.
Yeah.
I believe the transit secretary was Sadiq Khan. I believe there was a name that comes back to me. But anyway, my cab, I was driving on the Sunday morning of Memorial Day weekend when 99% of the city is either in Cape Cod or the Hamptons. Mm-hmm. And that's when they tested the new speed in Times Square.
Oh, there you go.
And they were in the back of my cab. I got paid that morning. I didn't even know it was a thing. And people were getting in with stopwatches and I was driving laps of Times Square. And I was like, oh, some kind of traffic. What's going, you know, what are we doing here? And I figured it out pretty quick. But the next day on all of the newspapers, it was like, Times Square is a drag strip now because they conducted the test when nobody was in the city. So when congestion pricing happens, okay, they're going to go out and make timed runs at 5 in the morning when no one's on the road and go, look how much faster it is.
I know. It's so offensive to be treated like a child.
Yes, I know.
Right? Like you're. Why would you lie to us? But that's the way they treat us. That's the way they treat government. Yep. And so, yeah. What do you think, if not Memorial Day weekend, what would be the day that they do congestion pricing? Because, I mean, 4th of July is bad because so many people come into town for the fireworks.
Yeah, yeah. But it's true because a lot of street closures. When else would they do it? Like, I will give you a straight answer. So they would either do it a holiday weekend where people are out, like the 4th of July, Fleet Week, because Fleet Week is it's all boats.
Yeah.
And there's no traffic because everybody goes to the west side.
Yeah.
And it kind of vacates Midtown. Everyone is on the boats for Fleet Week, which is actually, it's around Memorial Day. So they're going to do it Memorial Day.
They'll do it again on Memorial Day.
The answer to your question.
You heard it here first. And it will be great to see because they're going to do some lie like this. And they're going to say, look, congestion pricing is great and everyone's getting around faster.
Yeah.
Never, but it's just pure lies.
Yeah, never mind that the cost of goods goes up because the delivery people have to pay more money now. And the guys that are driving in. So to give an example, a lot of people who work in this city don't even have a mass transit option at certain hours of the day. Meaning if you're like towing a food cart in, those guys come in at 3 in the morning.
Yeah.
You know, the trains aren't abundant at 3 in the morning, and you wouldn't want to be on them anyway. When you get on the subway at 3 in the morning, you're in someone's house.
Yeah.
You're not on mass transit. People live there. And I could tell you, as a cab driver, I would get on the 104th Street 1 train every morning at about 3:30 in the morning. And they were the same people sleeping in it every night. Like, you felt like you should have brought a Bundt cake or something. Like, you're at someone's house. I'm like, do I have to take my shoes off? I'm like, because you
turn off the light.
Yeah, do I have to? Because no one's wearing shoes. Should I take mine off? Daniel Turner's here. We're talking about the scam. And the reason, you know, I hone in on New York so much is obviously we're here. But for the people listening around the country, these policies are just being scaled for everybody.
Yeah.
If it's happening in New York or California, it's because they want it happening in your state, too, is the point.
Yeah.
Their goal is not New York and California. They've already ruined those states. It's a mess.
And they're going to just make life in Manhattan so much more miserable. And it's already a little difficult to get around. Mm-hmm. But the congestion pricing, and on top of that, to the lack of lanes. Just why do you hate the people in this city so much?
Yeah.
You know, especially when they all have entourages of SUVs with sirens flaring.
Think about that point you make.
You know,
everywhere Biden goes, okay, they use Air Force One like it's a Honda Accord.
Yeah.
Like they fly to Delaware. How many times? You know what I mean? And everywhere they go to run an errand or to spend a day comes with what you just described, which is a motorcade of 100 vehicles.
Yeah.
And the amount of pollution they cause.
And it's always a Friday at 4:30 in the afternoon,
which
right?
Already crowded on the road.
Exactly. So everyone is trying to get home from work, and Biden's like, fundraiser on the Upper West Side.
Yeah, yeah.
And just every single road is shut down. LaGuardia is shut down. JFK is shut down. You're like, I thought we were leaving for our vacation to Paris. Not now, you're not,
no,
lady.
No, you're not.
Biden's got a fundraiser.
Oh, that's so funny.
It's absurd.
He's going to a duplex on the Upper East Side.
To talk about equality, you know, the condo fees are $150,000 a month, and they're like, let's talk about the poor.
For far too long. It's so funny.
They can see the poor from their balcony. Yeah. Like, those are poor.
People are paying $250,000 for a dinner, and they're pretending they care about the poor. I mean, come on, man. Daniel Turner's in studio. We're having a grown-up talk. The other thing I laughed at this week is a lot of electric vehicle manufacturers, Hyundai and Kia, have a recall right now as a charging issue. The only guy who's actually effectively selling electric cars and expanding growth is Elon Musk, who is obviously public enemy number one because of his position on speech. But at one point, wasn't he not an ally of the government and they held him in good standing?
Yeah.
He was the patron saint of electric vehicles at one point.
Absolutely. I mean, he was the hero of electric vehicles, and he was the only one who was able to get – ships into space successfully because we kind of forgot how. Yeah. We used to be good at it, but
we didn't go. I don't think we went to the moon.
Someone
now.
Lost the book.
This is going to piss off my WHIO listeners because they're right down the road from the Neil Armstrong Space Museum. So sorry, Nick Roberts, if you get a lot of hate mail. I don't know that we went. You want to know why? This is all I got for you. This is all I have. It's based on nothing other than this, okay? So, guys, maybe I'm being silly, maybe I'm not, but just understand I have great reverence for the moon. I'm wearing a NASA jacket right now, am I not?
You are.
I am wearing a NASA jacket. Thank you. So, and this really sticks with me. Okay, do you remember in, I believe it was June, maybe July, India landed on the moon.
So they claim.
Or whatever. Okay.
Who knows if they did.
Let's take them at their word. Yeah. The graphics look terrible. That looked like a graphic out of Asteroids. Remember the 80s game Asteroids?
So terrible game.
They showed us this graphic of India landing on the moon with worse graphics than we had in 80s video games. Okay? More importantly also, though, unmanned landing on the moon. India does not have the capacity to get a man on the moon. India, who we call for tech support, if anything goes wrong in this country.
Yeah.
So you want me to tell me the people we call for tech support are 50 or 75 years behind us?
I am not an anti...
I know.
I'm not an anti-moon conspiracy.
I know you're not.
But
that gets me.
It does.
That gets me.
Well, what gets me is, I mean, this is just odd. I'm not saying we didn't go to the moon. Uh-huh. I mean, that's insanity. But it is odd to say, well, we went a lot of times in the 60s, but we kind of forgot. So now we talk about we're going to get to the moon by 2035. Well, it's like, well, why can't we go now? Like, where's the binder? Like, didn't someone write, like, all this stuff down?
Doesn't, like a grandma have a recipe book with index cards
on it? Yeah,
we
don't know how to do it. Like, Steve knew, but Steve died, and he retired.
Yeah, didn't
write
it down.
No one remembers
how to
do it.
What is this, the Goonies? Do we have to find the map?
Where are the three women from Hidden Figures? Aren't they all still alive? Like, can't you call them back and be like, ladies, someone must have kept a notebook somewhere.
Get them on the phone.
Yeah, we'll figure it out eventually. But yes, that's why they loved Elon, because he could actually do it.
He could do things. So, but it's fascinating, because even he can't put a man on the moon right now.
No. No one can.
So that sticks with me, because it's like, all right, so we went, and we won the space race, and hooray, America. That stuff, I mean, I grew up on that, so I'm heavily invested in it. I'm not telling you it didn't happen. And I understand that we stopped going in the 70s because there was a lot of social unrest and it was very expensive to do and we had won the space race. But the fact that none of the other countries went also gets me, because people say like, oh, well, you know, we won the race. We beat them to it.
Yeah.
But, you know, everyone listening knows that someone beat us, okay, to Cindy Crawford, you know. But if she calls tonight and she wants to go meet at Houlihan's for a couple of drinks, you're probably showing up even though you weren't first.
Yeah.
Same goes for you, Julia Roberts, if you're listening. Catherine Bach from the Dukes of Hazzard. Daisy Duke calls up and wants to go to Chili's tonight.
I'll be there.
You're damn right you will. And you're a gay man, and you'll be there.
Well, if John Schneider called.
Oh, forget about it.
Good Lord.
Do you draw line? Where do you weigh it on Tom Wopat? This is getting crazy now. This is getting nuts. Daniel Turner's here. Don't go anywhere. We're back after this.
You're hanging out with Jimmy Failla on Fox Across America.
It's Friday. We're just setting the country on fire. Daniel Turner's here. It's Fox Across America. Tyler Fisher's coming by. He's a comedian. He's a nice guy. He'll be here later. And Daniel really sent me down a rabbit hole on this moon landing thing. I don't want to upset the listeners of the great patriots who worked on the mission, but there are some very curious items. So I interviewed Bart Sobrell. Bart Sobrell, the reason he might resonate with some of our listeners, he's a moon landing guy. He says we didn't go. But his claim to fame is he got punched in the face by Buzz Aldrin. He's that guy.
Oh, he's the guy who
asked got punched
him.
In the face. He has the video, and he was in my moon landing documentary, Moon Landing Fact or Fiction, on Fox News. And, of course, we went to the moon. Everybody knows that. But there are a lot of things, disparities, between capabilities we had then that we don't have now that concern me. Mm. International Space Station's 250 miles up. The space shuttle flies about 200 miles up. But in 1969, we could go 239,000 miles up.
That's more. Right? That's more miles. That's more miles.
And I know there's an explanation, and I'm sure it's all fine. It makes perfect sense that we can only go 200 miles now, but we could go 239,000. We've gotten so much better at technology that it's limiting our capabilities. That's the point.
Analog used to work, right? And there's some truth to it.
Everybody knows the movies looked better on Beta and VHS than they do.
VHS did not give you nearly the amount of problems that Netflix streaming streaming gives you. Listen, it's always buffering.
This $20,000 high DLP HD TV I'm watching is not remotely as clear as my Hitachi was.
No, but seriously, when you went to Blockbuster Video and rented something, when did it ever buffer? Mm-hmm. When were you ever watching it? And you're like, everyone has to wait a couple minutes. Yeah. It's downloading. So analog worked.
So maybe technology is going backwards. That's technology, what you're telling me.
Technology is cyclical.
Either right? Technology is going backwards or we didn't go to the moon. I don't want to have this conversation. It's a lot of good patriots. I grew up down the block from Grumman where they made the space capsules. Great stuff. Jenny, my wife, is from Neil Armstrong's hometown, Wapakoneta. How about that? They have a Neil Armstrong Space Museum. You know what else they have?
What do they have?
Dippin' Dots. They're branded as the ice cream of the future.
Yes.
They've been branded as the ice cream of the future since 1962.
It's awful.
When
awful.
Is the future? Like, if you're in 1962, what did you consider the future to be? Well, I'd like to think you considered 2024 the future, or like a significantly beyond the moment you were living in.
I think I went to Epcot. I'm the youngest, so I vaguely barely remember. I think I was 3 or 4. That was the only time we ever did a family vacation. But my older siblings remember Epcot. But when it was recently built, it was the place of the future.
I was there.
And now Epcot, I think, is like, that's the future? It's pretty awful, right? I don't know. I haven't been to Epcot in ever.
We're going to give them credit on one thing. Dippin' Dots came out in 88.
Oh, okay.
That's fair. That looks better.
And Tang. Tang was the drink.
We got that out of the moon landing.
Can you still make Tang? Can you buy Tang still? Does Tang exist?
I got to tell you, I could find it as a cab driver.
Yeah?
I could find you anything. Like, when I was driving a cab full-time, I've said this to people before, like, I could get you a circus elephant in an hour. Like, I'm not saying you'd physically have the elephant, but you would have a commitment from a firm seller, like a credible seller.
You know what? That would be the most epic, it probably would be illegal, but the most epic scavenger hunt game to play, where it's like you just give them all
things
these crazy
cabbies
lists
can
that
find.
Cabbies can find, and you've got one day
you would
and
be
no rules.
Stunned what's in this city.
A human kidney.
There's still two people that
$1 million in quarters.
Yeah, did you see that hole? They did that transplant. They put a pig kidney into a human today.
I saw that. Yeah.
Yeah. So now the bad news is the guy likes rolling around in poo now. Well, the good news is San Francisco. The good news, he's going to be okay.
You know how many jokes that poor guy's. I mean, I hope it works for him. Yeah, God love him. But you just have jokes for the rest of your life if your brother's got a pig kidney.
It's gets funny. It's like, what, you got a house made out of straw? What's going on? It's funny. Daniel Turner's here. We're just running the show into the ground. We're going to get into more conspiracies, but we got to talk about Bernie Sanders. And yes, we will, of course, get into AOC.
AOC is a dope.
Said it before, I'll say it again. I agree with Lincoln on that one, by the way. We'll find out what Daniel thinks after this on Fox Across America. Oh, girl, Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla. Daniel Turner's in studio for the full hour. For the full hour. But we just got a dispatch. I got a text from my cousin Cindy. Okay, this is significant.
Oh, boy.
Cousin Cindy has the highest security clearance in the administration. And she does listen to the show from time to time in passing. Mm-hmm. You know, sometimes the bars aren't open early in Florida. You don't know. The meth labs, the stove isn't working. You know, with cousin Cindy, you don't know. You just know there's probably Duran Duran on. And something's happening. But she said Tang still exists.
It does.
Cousin Cindy sends me a text. This is great. It's the kind of highbrow reporting we're doing on the show. Tang still exists. And according to my cousin Cindy, there's packets of it at the Spanish market near her house. Now, that doesn't mean it still exists. They might just have old boxes.
They might just have
She's
old
the
stuff.
Only one buying it.
Can we invite Tang to be a sponsor of your show? It's,
they better
I
now.
Mean, Tang, who else is
mango,
talking about you today?
Mango, strawberry, grape, lemon, and orange, according to cousin Cindy.
Mango Tango. Mango Tang.
No, that's a Ted Nugent song.
I would
just stick with mango, strawberry, grape, lemon, and the orange, according to my cousin Cindy. But we move forward.
Orange is the classic. But
well, that was the orange was the OG. But I believe the point of you being on the show in this hour today is you have an op-ed in the New York Post. So let's try and do some adulting here.
Yeah.
And get on with our lives. So what do we know here? Let's you take it away.
Yeah. So thank you. It's nice to let me talk about myself for a little bit and not Tang. yes, I wrote an op-ed. You know, your great governor, New York's great governor, Andrew Cuomo.
Oh, whoa. This is Hansy Andy Cuomo?
Hansy
Andy.
Anyway, for those not familiar, we had a governor, Andrew Cuomo, who got in a little trouble for his office etiquette around the ladies.
You ever seen a grown man naked?
But take it from there. So handsy Andy.
Andrew was desperate to be national profile. Right, Mario, his father, ran for president successfully.
Yep.
I think if you're a Cuomo's son, you either, you know, follow Chris Cuomo's path, or you follow Andrew Cuomo's, which was the political, just like the dad, governor. He was in the cabinet. He was Clinton's, I think, housing secretary, right? So Andrew is desperate to have a national profile. And the way you have a national profile as a Democrat is you've got to push hardcore green things, in addition to hardcore trans and hardcore bike lanes, right? Green is very important. So he shut down your all of your coal in New York State, all coal gone, and he shut down Indian Point Nuclear, which everyone said, yes, we're finally getting rid of that risky nuclear.
Yeah.
You know, yes, 90% of French electricity is nuclear.
Is that true?
And they're not afraid.
Yeah.
Right?
The French.
So the French can do it, but it was too scary for Andrew Cuomo. And this was all done with a lot of fanfare. Congratulations, New York is leading the charge. And now studies have come out to show that New York's emissions are going through the roof. And your electric grid is less reliable, of course. And, of course, ratepayers here in New York State know how expensive electricity has gotten. Mm-hmm. But your emissions are also going up. So congratulations, Andrew.
Wow, way to go, Handsy Andy. Yeah. There you go. Only governor get paid in singles.
Yeah, and it just shows you how these green metrics are all just a bunch of lies.
Well, I guess that's the point. So give me this, because I don't purport to be well-versed in the area of even nuclear power. But are they – it reads to me as if the people that are green energy people are against it, and they use safety as a justification. But is it essentially just because their money is invested in other things like solar and wind and everything else? Like, what is – How does that square?
I think there's lots of different green folks. I think some of them are invested in wind and solar, and they're going to push that. I think there's the financial interests. I think there's a hardcore element of the green movement which just genuinely hates humanity.
Okay.
They talk about depopulation.
Don't
about population control, don't have kids. So they will support anything that crushes humanity because they think humanity is bad. They want to see Jane Goodall, right? The famous, remember she taught
the apes,
monkey
right?
How to play piano or something?
Yeah.
Right? Jane Goodall talked about how we need to have the climate of the 1700s, and to do that, we need to have the population of the 1700s.
Oh.
Well, the population of the 1700s means around 6 billion people have to disappear.
Mm-hmm.
So my question for Jane is who? Right? Like, what community should not have been born in the last 300 years? What can we point to continents?
Well, that's going to be,
you know,
a hell
of a reality show. Exactly. You know, so that's kind of what I think the ultimate driving thing is they hate humanity. And if humanity suffers and dwindles for the good of Mother Earth, they see that as a good thing.
Sheesh. Daniel Turner is in studio. And I've read all of these arguments about population. It's funny because that's where Elon Musk also, I give him some credit.
Yeah.
Because he has pushed the importance. And again, he's a billionaire. It's easy to have 100 kids, but he has 100 kids.
Yeah.
You know, but he has pushed the importance of growing our population because it's not happening. It's real. We're going there anyway. And that presents other problems. Like if you don't have the population, I mean, that's part of the issues we have now. Is we're counting on the population to subsidize the older generation of the population.
Yeah.
You know, because everything that's an entitlement in this country is being robbed. You know, like what they're doing with Social Security is not actually what it's supposed to be.
That's why Social Security is crumbling, Medicare is crumbling, Medicaid is crumbling. Just so you look at the numbers, it was all based on a pyramid of a very young, heavy base and an older, dwindling population. And we're getting the exact
reverse. Now.
It is.
It's inverse.
Or if not, it's just a huge cylinder, right?
Yeah.
It's probably parity. And the problem is that, I mean, not a problem, but the other challenge is our older population is living a lot longer.
Yeah.
We're making a ton of drugs and you can live to your 90s, right?
No, you can be president until you're 1,000 now.
Exactly. And I think when Social Security was invented by that monster, right, the whole purpose of it, the understanding of it was that Americans would be dead by the time they're 65. Now they're barely running for their first term of Senate at 65, right? So we've got an aging population and not a lot of young people. But yeah, that's why they hate fossil fuels, that's why they hate nuclear. But New York, it set a terrible example, right? Mm-hmm. Get rid of what's working and get all the accolades. And you know, Andrew Cuomo will probably still tell you that he did something great for the state. Uh-huh. And yet New Yorkers as a whole see that things have gotten more expensive. Your electricity is less reliable. So when does the good part kick in? it's like congestion. It's like the bike lanes. When does the good part of having two lanes on 8th Avenue work?
No, that's funny. I laugh as a former cab driver, man, because I also have this weird survivor's guilt. So the city was pretty safe when I was a cabbie because we were post Giuliani. We had all those cops. And even Bloomberg knew that so much of our economy was predicated on tourism that, you know, he's the guy who ushered in the bike lanes. It was his, you know, stupid green energy idea. But to his credit, he did emphasize safety and was in favor of stop and frisk, which they were like, we can't do that. That's racism. Now the National Guard's in the subway. we can't wait.
It's not stop and frisk. It is delay and detain.
Yeah.
It is pause and pass
it's,
down.
Yeah, that's what I mean. It's like so semantically stupid. No, we're just calling it something else.
Exactly.
Now it's not the cops stopping you and frisking you. It's the National Guard. Instead of a guy with a handgun, you get a guy with a machine gun.
Yeah.
They're the same thing. Okay, but there's so much of that when it comes to fighting the wrong battles. Like, a good one I keep coming back to is Letitia James and Trump. I want to play this clip because I was meaning to get to it on the show. So Trump is, you know, facing this $464 million judgment.
Mm.
And this judgment was issued because they accused him of financial fraud for overinflating the values of his properties, which even Shark Tank's own Kevin O'Leary has said that's how commercial real estate works. You borrow against the value of your property. You inflate it at times to get bigger loans. The bank's aware of this. And as long as you have a firm record of paying back on time, they give you the money.
Yeah.
And in the case of Trump, no one is claiming injury. So he has been charged with the financial equivalent of murder, but there's no dead person.
Mm-hmm.
Bit of a scam. So today on CNN, they're talking about, well, you know, this has become like a sport for them and for the MSNBCs of the world. They hate Trump. It's an unhealthy thing. And they get such a kick out of him being in debt. Susan Rice spoke earlier today. She said, well, you know, all this debt makes him a national security risk. I'm like, well, you put him in this debt. So
yeah.
The idea, he wasn't just like a guy who ran into trouble at the dog track and now he's running for president. You created this debt by design so you could make these claims. But anyway, on CNN today, understand, he owes $464 million as a penalty. Because according to this judge, Mar-a-Lago was only worth $18 million, which is absurd.
So stupid.
Okay, but here is CNN accidentally admitting that the property could be sold for hundreds of millions of dollars to pay off the debt. Now, if the property could be sold for $100 million, means he didn't inflate the value, meaning he shouldn't owe the debt.
Exactly.
Now, I can't promise you they're going to acknowledge that in this clip. But I just want America to hear this because I don't want to get distracted and forget. Two clips. Here's Bess Friedman. She is a luxury realtor down in Florida. It starts with her clip 19.
I think you need at least 30 days to get any of these properties sold. But the property that you alluded to, Mar-a-Lago, potentially that could be something that could be sold quickly. I think the valuation is something in the hundreds of millions.
Well,
and
what?
I think there could be a buyer for something like that.
So just start there.
Hundreds
of millions. The judge said 18 million. You know what that was based on? Whatever the judge wanted to base it on. There was no comp.
No.
The house down the block went for $200 million.
Yeah.
The empty lot went for $150.
And isn't it 65 acres or something absurd?
With a golf course. It's on the water. It's in the most pristine stretch of real estate in America.
$18 million is like a one-bedroom apartment in Soho. You know, $18 million.
He's not kidding you guys. Here, let me give you another one. This is Aaron Burnett now. This is great. This is clip 20.
And that would be literally, if you're talking about doing that between now and Monday, that's picking up the phone, calling someone, and then literally writing a check.
Yeah, I mean, there could be plenty of international people who want to buy that property. I mean, there's properties that are priced at $150 and $200 million that are nearby that. And Palm Beach is like the NVIDIA, yeah, of real estate. It's just shot up like a rocket. And people do want to live there. They've moved there. So I think that would be the best case scenario. As to proper, if he's trying to sell quickly, I would encourage that.
So, all right, now that's $240 million estimated. I mean, who knows? You know, he's a desperate seller in this case. Someone picks up the phone and makes that call this week. So I don't know what it'd be. That's still half of what it would be.
Mm. But you understand there shouldn't be any fine.
Yeah.
because it's worth $240 million.
It's worth way more than that
anyway.
It's closer to $1 billion.
It's probably worth, because a former president lived there and the property's as big as it is and it's where it's located.
They just want the joy of having to see him forced to sell his.
They're trying to humiliate him.
Exactly. Trump Tower would be the same thing. Letitia James will be thrilled.
Yeah.
She will be there personally if they can take down the sign that says Trump Tower.
Oh, of course, yeah. But can I give you a news flash? And this is something else people might not know. They can't actually do that. Okay, this is all fantasy stuff. The reason being is because the tenants within Trump Tower have rights because they bought these units and have consented to a landlord that is not the one it would be if things change. So they start these processes for what you just described, though, the optic of doing it.
Yeah.
And she can be there and say, we started the process today, but the process doesn't reach a rightful conclusion. This is all for show.
Yeah.
But the reason I'm bringing this up is because we're having this conversation about how New York is an actual walking toilet.
Yeah.
Okay. Crime is through the roof. The reason they got stats down, there's another one. So when the FBI published, if you saw the tweet on Monday about crime being down across the country.
Down everywhere.
Yes. They used incomplete stats to report it. According to OpsDesk.org, they missed 53 murders in New York alone, which I would imagine has a little bit of an effect on whether or not crime is up or down. But they don't issue a retraction on any of those tweets. The other thing is they're not actually putting anyone in jail. So if no one goes to jail, you can claim crime is down.
You can claim, exactly. And this is where numbers can lie. You can make numbers say whatever you want them to say. Anyone who has taken statistics knows you can get numbers to say anything.
Yep, and that's the scam. But more importantly, they're going to try to make Trump pay $500 million for overvaluing properties. He didn't overvalue. That's the point. So when you see all of this, you know, you're looking out at the 2024 election. They've tried taking him off the ballot. He's been indicted for 91 things he's not going to jail for because they just want to convict him in the court of public opinion. You know, then there's this other angle of bloodbath where they're going to distort his words. They're attacking the voters. He's probably going to have a black or a Latino vice president who's going to be called a racist all summer. It's going to be hilarious. Mm-hmm. I want it to be Byron Donalds. Just I know him personally and I can laugh at him every time he goes on the news and gets called a white supremacist. He's a black man with a black family. I've met his black mother. She's a delightful woman. Apparently, she's a white supremacist, too.
They're all white supremacists.
It is so amazing who now qualifies to be a white supremacist. It's like they've really changed the admission standards.
Anyone can be. We need a bunch of white liberals to point that out for
us. Old enough to remember when the Klan rallies were fairly white. They weren't praised for their diversity. All of a sudden, the Klan is like a DEI-run Klan. Is that what you're telling me?
Yeah, and it's just and these are all the optics that they're going to do for the rest of the year. And what are we in, March?
Yeah.
We got a long year to go, and it's going to be exhausting. You think you're tired now? These are all the stuff they're going to have to do to hide the fact that the border is a disaster. Eggs are still $4 a dozen. Gas prices are starting to go through the roof again. Crime is insane. So it will be about Mar-a-Lago. It will be about white supremacy. They are hoping for some sort of incident that they can rally around. And it will probably happen this summer.
What Daniel Turner is saying is it's going to be so gross and contentious that he would move to the moon if only we had the technology to land a man there.
Somebody ought to belt you in the mouth.
The show that connects you to people in high places.
It's like the most important man in the world standing here, and you got a conversation going with each other.
Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla.
Oh, girl. It is Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla. Got a lot going on in the next hour. Some you and me time as well. But I want to give you a little more of the Trump stuff. So, and this one, you got to hope you're sitting down if you're a liberal who just hates Trump for a living. So they're taking Trump's Truth Social app public. And it's going to trade on the stock market under the initials DJT. So whenever you see it on the ticker, Donald John Trump, you will see that on the stock market. It's going public next week. The estimated valuation is $5.5 billion. Trump owns 60% of the app, so his ownership stake would be worth $3.5 billion. So every Democrat that wants to bankrupt Trump and was going to the bar to celebrate this weekend because, oh, we're going to seize this property. Okay. That's it for Trump.
Wrong.
Trump, whatever you think of the guy. Okay. I'm just a talk show host. I don't tell you how to vote. I don't tell you what to do. But Trump is Batman for the Democrats. Do you remember watching Batman? Okay, the TV show. And Trump was always, you know, in this case, Batman was always on, like, the wheel of death. And they're like, oh, they got him this time. Oh, forget it. Hey, he ain't getting out of this one. You know, oh, not looking good. And then you'd go to commercial and you'd... And he was back. And somehow he'd broken free. And now you were getting wham and blam and pow. You know, the punches would come with the sound effect. You know, that's where we've been on Trump since he came down the escalator. Like him or hate him, I don't care. You know, they were like, oh, that's it. Stole the election. Russian collusion. He's gone. And the guy walked free. And they were like, oh, forget it now. Impeachment, Ukraine. Leaving the office. We've seen this a million times. Oh, impeachment number two. They're going to bar him from the ballot. He'll never run again because of January 6th. Ah, he's the first president that's been indicted. Alvin Bragg, they got him now. Classified documents? The only president to have classified documents. Then they showed up at Biden's house and they said he had dementia. They couldn't try him. Now we've got Letitia James and the properties, and we just found a $3.5 billion windfall for the Trump man. The point I'm trying to make is it's a long night over at MSNBC.
No!
They are not happy.
Live from everywhere USA, it's Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla.
Oh, girl, here we go. Big hour coming up on this show. It's Friday. You live in the greatest country in the world.
Freedom!
Got a lot to be excited about. Is it on fire? Yeah, but we're going to roast some radio marshmallows. 888-788-9910 if you want a piece of the action. Also, the phone number if you don't want a piece of the action.
You're just another dirtbag.
Absolutely. You can call it and trash me. We'll put you right through. Tyler Fish is coming by in this hour. We're also going to have a grown-up talk about third-party candidates, specifically RFK Jr. Why? Because Jeff Hayes, who produced the authorized documentary, The Real JFK Jr., is going to be joining us in this hour as well. And, of course, RFK... is in the midst of a back and forth. The real RFK Jr. Did I say that wrong? RFK is in the middle of a contentious back and forth with Jen Psaki. If you remember Jen Psaki.
She's worse than Kamala.
Ah, she's all right. But she left the White House for a show on MSNBC. And in this hour, we will discuss why RFK Jr. is now making enough headlines that he's getting into a fight with the New York Times. Do you remember the New York Times? Well, they started yelling at RFK saying you have no right to run. You could become a spoiler, hand the election to Trump. Yo, when you're running for president and you believe in your ideas and you want to lead this nation, you don't have an obligation to the other people that are running, too.
He knows what he's talking about.
He doesn't owe Joe Biden, and he also doesn't owe the New York Times to share their same ideology. But that's where you run into problems when activists start masquerading as journalists.
That's why I don't read the newspaper, because it's garbage. And the editor that let it come out is garbage.
True story. So we will talk about all of it, but we will begin. I'm going to play a little sound, and away we go. Here is RFK Jr. He's on the Run-Up podcast and flat out tells the New York Times they are an instrument of the Democratic Party. This is clip 25.
70% of the people in this country do not want a contest between Trump and Biden. The New York Times is not going to allow those people to get in. Those Americans who don't want to see a rerun of this contest, don't you think they deserve something? And the New York Times, is essentially an instrument of the Democratic Party.
So listen to this. He says, the New York Times is essentially an instrument of the Democratic Party.
That's true. That is true.
Okay, here is the pushback, clip 26.
Understand that you're making an institutional argument. I'm asking about the work that we do, and I'm posing a question to you.
You've been making institutional arguments against me since this started. You're an instrument of the DNC. Doing what you're doing is to try to spin this some way that it's going to help Biden and hurt Trump and get rid of any threat to that narrow guardrail in the guardrail contest that the New York Times approves of. And it's just not right for our country. And I'm not going to go along with it.
So listen, he's right to say that. Okay. You don't let the New York Times determine who gets to be on the ballot and who doesn't get to be on the ballot. But in their worldview, okay, that's the way this should work. You should share their values. You should want Joe Biden, okay, to be the next president.
The man is insane. He's not responsible for himself.
But even getting past that, okay, the idea that even if they were running as a candidate who could hurt Donald Trump, that guy should then in turn bow out of the race. For people who tell you democracy is on the ballot, but then in the next breath they want you to believe, well, democracy's on the ballot as long as we approve of who's on the ballot.
Democrats are so full of crap.
Okay. But here's Jen Psaki basically explaining why they suddenly hate RFK Jr. so much. They hate him because Biden is the lowest polling president in recorded history. They want the guy to do another 4 years, even though it's straight elder abuse at this point. Okay, but they're going to need everything to get him over the finish line, meaning, yes, they're going to keep indicting Trump. Okay, yes, they're going to keep distorting language like bloodbath when he's talking about the economy. Yes, they're going to call his voters white supremacists. Yes, they're going to keep dragging up January 6th. And yes, anybody who could potentially get a vote besides Biden is going to be attacked. So at some point, they'll be annihilating the Jill Steins and the Marianne Williamsons of the world. Those moon bats. You know, at some point, they'll start slandering them because they can't afford to lose a single solitary vote.
I agree with that.
So here is Psaki, clip 27.
He has problems among independents and problems with an expanded electorate. But these third party candidates are a huge, huge, huge problem. And there's a number of them. If you look at RFK Jr., it's the name recognition issue, as Tom was just talking about. And there are still states in this country, obviously, I mean, Georgia is one of them I will name, where the Kennedy name is beloved, right? Where people may just not where they may just not know a lot about the fact that he is an anti-vaxxer who's a conspiracy theorist.
No.
They don't know that yet.
So you see what she's doing there, getting the bio. Oh, they don't know he's an anti-vaxxer conspiracy theorist. I got news for you, Jen Psaki. There's a lot of anti-vaxxers out there when it comes to COVID.
Oh, wow!
Let me give you a little more. This is clip 28.
There is an aggressive effort that the campaign has been working with the Democratic National Committee on to run on this, but it needs to be broad. People need to be shouting it from the rooftops because this is one of the biggest threats to Joe Biden being reelected is these third party candidates. If you look at Michigan, Mika, and I know Alyssa Slotkin is going to be on later. I almost called her senator. Congresswoman Alyssa Slotkin is going to be on later. Michigan is a state where RFK, I think, is polling at 10%. Right. And so this is a place where Joe Biden needs to win. And RFK Jr. is making a real threat to that. So it's good we're talking about it. It is a real threat. They're aware of it. But more needs to be done and more people need to be talking about it and aware.
Yeah. So start talking about third party candidates. And then if you vote for RFK Jr., we're all going to die because he's a conspiracy theorist. That's what they're down to.
What an idiot.
But that you understand. You don't find yourself in this position if you have a good candidate. Okay, if a guy is running for re-election and you truly believe the country's better off now than it was 4 years ago. Nobody believes that. Nobody in their right mind believes that. You know, what the Democrats like to compare it to is the country better off now than it was the week COVID hit our shores and we shut down the entire economy? In theory, yes. Okay, inflation's higher now than it was then. The border's worse now than it was then. Foreign policy's exponentially worse now than it was then. So understand the answer to the question is still not we were better off. Okay, they have been a catastrophic failure in every way. I'm not saying that as like some type of a Republican strongman attack dog. I'm saying that who a guy who legitimately cares about the country. You know, I could vote. I'm capable of voting for a Democrat if I believed in the person and I believed in their ideas. I don't care. I don't know what party my loyalty with the clown show the Republicans are putting on in Congress right now, where Marjorie Taylor Greene's trying to get Mike Johnson thrown out. Give us our third or fourth speaker and our 100th vote to confirm one at a time when Republicans have the power of the purse. And to be clear, did Mike Johnson do a great job on negotiating this emergency spending bill? No, he didn't. But the Republicans voted him in. So they got to own this thing because it's not like there's anything else for Mike Johnson to do between now and Election Day. So now you're just throwing him out for the unrest. Now it's going to get gaveled out. They're not going to remove Mike Johnson. But the fact that they're posturing in the media the way they are demonstrates a level of unseriousness that is truly a problem, okay, in the long run for the party. So when you look out at the country and the state we happen to find ourselves in, which is everybody runs on the fact that we got to cut spending, but we're somehow miraculously $34 trillion in debt. I mean,
this is politics as usual.
Of course it is. But the people getting the bill for all this runaway spending are not the Mike Johnsons of the world. It's you and me.
Just hold on to your pocketbook. They just put a lien on your money, your savings, and your retirement.
You're listening to Fox Across America with Jimmy Fallon.
That's my name. Don't wear it out.
Oh, rats. Fox Across America with Jimmy Fallon. We're going to be rapping with the great Tyler Fisher. Fantastic stand-up comedian joining us in the next break. Hopefully we'll pick up our spirits because we are sad to report that the Princess of Wales, Kate Middleton, has been diagnosed with cancer. There's been rampant speculation. We've certainly been a part of it as to what, you know, has kept her from the public eye for as long as she has been kept. Of course, this was touched off last week when the palace released a photoshopped image. And people immediately be like, that's not her. They're using a body double. You know, all the craziness. And certainly we have fun with stuff like that. But when things get serious, so do we. We care, you know. And sad to hear she's been diagnosed with cancer. We don't know what that means from here other than the fact that she will be getting preventative treatment. She released a video, a pretty touching video, detailing as much. And for that reason, she is probably going to remain as private as possible because she's going through a lot and she's got a family and she's got young kids. And you certainly, you know, in moments like this, want to give them as much respect and consideration and good vibes as you can. So a shout out, shooting a full, you know, full-fledged T-shirt gun across the pond full of good vibes for the Princess of Wales and her family. Back here in America, where we are trying to make sense of things. One of the issues is climate change. We had Daniel Turner on for a full hour. I have to play you this Kamala Harris clip. So this is Kamala explaining to conservation voters what the crux of climate change is. Now, it's significant that you hear this clip because I have a rejoinder to go with it. This is clip 30.
A movement that has always been about the ability to see what can be unburdened by what has been. So I'm really excited about our work. I'm very excited about our work because we are showing that these were not just really good ideas.
What would you do with a brain if you had one?
Now, when you listen to that, if you've never listened to the show before, if you've never listened to that clip before, you don't realize how criminally stupid it is. But I'll get you there. We do something on this show. It's called Permanent Audio, where we hold on to things we've played in the past. Hey, this is funny. And we just, you know, try to give you some perspective on where politicians stood or, you know, things they've done. So Kamala Harris says, Josh, just play the first half of the clip again. It's clip 30.
A movement that has always been about the ability to see what can be unburdened by what has been.
Okay, so I'll jump in there. So climate change is a movement. It's always been about the ability to see what can be unburdened by what has been. That's what climate change is in the eyes of Kamala Harris. Do you know what else is a movement to see what can be unburdened by what has been in the eyes of Kamala Harris. Literally, literally everything. Listen to this clip. This is a montage of Kamala Harris speaking on the issues facing our nation over the course of the last 2 years.
It's the pursuit of doing things better than we have done and seeing what is possible unburdened by what has been.
We see what can be unburdened by what has been.
What can be unburdened by what has been.
What can be unburdened by what has been.
We see what can be unburdened by what has been.
This is a fight that is born out of seeing and knowing what can be and believing in that, unburdened by what has been.
Knowing and believing and having faith in what can be, unburdened by what has been. Knowing what can be, unburdened by what has been.
To see what can be, unburdened by what has been.
Oh, God.
Kamala is a lying sociopath. Fact checked.
So she's the vice president of the United States. If you ask her anything, voting rights, climate change, crime, border security, women's issues, we see what can be unburdened by what can has been.
She is a fraud, a phony, a woman without a moral core, a regular two-faced, mealy-mouthed politician who swings with the wind.
Do you get it, though? This is who's in charge. A person who cannot think or speak critically. She has deployed that rhetorical device a billion times. She's also pretty passionate about Venn diagrams.
I love Venn diagrams. I really love Venn diagrams. You know, the circles, right? Three usually.
And what we are also seeing is that if you look at, you know, I like Venn diagrams, okay? So if you look,
I do. I love Venn diagrams. I really do. I love Venn diagrams. It's just something about those three circles and the analysis about where there is the intersection, right? Through the lens of something I love, which is to always think about complex issues through the frame of a Venn diagram. I love Venn diagrams. I love. I do. I love Venn diagrams. So,
see what I'm saying? It's nerdy. I'm just saying.
I love. Okay, so this is where you're going to hear the geek in me. I love Venn diagrams. I love Venn diagrams. I do. I do.
So that's Kamala Harris. She just likes Venn diagrams. I mean, this is what we're dealing with here.
That is totally absurd.
Okay, this is a woman who's so it's scary to watch. She's very uncomfortable in her own skin. And I feel for her in that regard. She comes off like a little bit of a sociopath, but says the same thing over and over and over again on any single issue, because it creates the perception that she knows what she's talking about. She does not know what she's talking about. So after hearing all of that, she wants you to tell you that climate change has always been a movement about the ability to see what can be, unburdened by what has been. Here's a question I have for you, okay? Serious question. What the f*** does that actually mean?
I think he's got a point.
What does it mean? Do you know what it means? Are you ready for it? Are you set? It means nothing.
Correctamundo.
Doesn't mean anything. Nothing at all. Okay? That's who's in charge. And I have these talks with you all the time. Not because I need you to vote for Trump in the next election. Vote for whoever you want. Vote for RFK Jr. I don't care. Okay? I don't care. I want the country to flourish. And in all honesty, listen, I think Trump's head and shoulders better than Biden as a president. But I don't look at the Republican Party and go, no, they deserve another chance. I think they both suck. That's who I am. That is who I am. I have individual people and individual parties that I think very highly of. As if you've heard me talk about Byron Donalds or Tim Scott, well, I'll go on all day about them. Great dudes. I've met them off the air. I've spoken to them. Okay, I think they're great. Guys you hear on this show regularly, I think they're great because I've spoken to them off the air. The only people who get on this show twice or three times or recur on the show are because I've met them and my own BS filter has deduced that these people care about the country they're fighting to lead. That matters to me because I'm not here on the radio trying to help one party win. Okay, my party is America. And unfortunately, because it was so much more important to beat the other party in the last election, we got two people in the White House who have absolutely positively no idea what it is they're supposed to be doing.
I'm Kamala Harris, and I approve this message.
Move your mic in a little. Fancy stuff. So we're sitting here on Fox Across America. We just broke the news that the Princess of Wales, sadly, has cancer. She is being treated right now. Sounds like it's an abdominal condition, but we're certainly sending all the good vibes we can to Kate Middleton. But as this news was breaking, we naturally said to ourselves, this would be a great time to bring on a comedian. The Princess of Wales has cancer. I know what you're all thinking. Who's ready for some comedy? Well, joining us now... is a man who's always ready for some comedy. It's what he does, and this is our job in this moment. I'm not saying we're coming on to bash Kate Middleton, but we're certainly coming on to have a good time because there's a lot of people out there that need comics to do their job in moments like this. Tyler Fisher, hey, girl.
She's got cancer. Welcome to comedy. This is
how comedy works. Well, you know what this is like because we're not going to do a lot of time on Kate Middleton, but this is for people listening around the world. This is what it's like to be a comic at a benefit show, is every benefit show you ever do begins with a 10-minute video montage of people who've died from whatever you're raising money for.
Yeah, exactly.
And then they shoot you out of a cannon and be like, make them laugh!
Well, in my head, I'm already going, what kind of cancer does she have?
Yeah.
That's off limits.
Yeah, why don't you...
Let me do my...
Finding the guardrails.
Is it pancreatic? I got a new fit on pancreatic. Is
good
it,
for you.
Is it skin?
There's a funny story. I saw Colin Quinn one night.
Does this go up, by the way, my headphone?
Yeah,
my,
we turn it. It's over there on the right.
Wow. You guys are fancy. Real low budget,
you
huh?
Guys, yeah, it's nothing here.
Right here?
There you go. There's a knob and everything. Is that any better?
Yeah.
All right.
I'm just hearing racial slurs now, the more I turn it up.
That's me.
Okay,
that's
perfect.
The accurate translation of my Long Island dialect. It's all. So I once saw Colin Quinn bring on Seinfeld at a benefit under the very circumstances we described. It was 14 minutes of people dying. And he comes up to open and he goes, he's like, I don't know why you need me. You're all warmed up after that video.
Yeah, you hope it's not a lung cancer thing. Then he comes up going, all right, who's ready to laugh? What's to hear about them?
He's got the voice. So it's crazy. So Tyler Fisher and I obviously sending some good vibes to Kate Middleton.
Yeah.
And we will continue to monitor that story, this being live radio. If we get any additional details, we will certainly
please
share them with
sure
you.
Please make sure to interrupt that, and talk about cancer that, when we're on a
it's
real
It's always good for your comedy. When things are going, if somebody could call in. But good to see you, man. This is your first time on the show.
Man.
We have gotten to work together on Gutfeld on multiple occasions that I am grateful for.
I know. I can't wait to have all the patches. We have the same jacket, but you have all the patches. To go. How many crappy podcasts did you have to go on
my NASA jacket.
Around New York City?
So do you want to know how this started, my NASA jacket thing? I own about 10 of these NASA jackets.
I got to move this up.
Okay. Whatever you need, man. I own about 10 of these NASA jackets. Two of them are real. Okay. Most of them I just buy on sites, wear them for fashion. But it started with I was shooting a moon landing documentary for Fox. We reached out to one of the space locations.
Okay.
And I'm like, hey, can we come shoot a documentary? And they were like, no. What size are you? And one of them is a consolation prize. It was like, you can't shoot your moon landing documentary here because you're probably a comedian. You're going to say we didn't go. So here's a jacket, Fatso.
And it worked.
And there it is. And Fatso took a jacket, and now it sent me down this hole
you
of
buying
more.
You give a comedian something for free?
Yeah. It's a big deal. That's a big deal. I mean, just even like things like hepatitis. I mean, when you go out there on the road, we'll take anything you
we'll
give
take
us.
Anything, yeah.
There's a lot going. Right now, there's a sad man in a La Quinta.
Yeah, how many times have you been like, do I get 50% off of this? Or is this this frozen quesadilla on the house?
You know my favorite thing about being a road comic, specifically on the way up, because we're both doing much better venues now.
I just started, so I'm, by the way, I didn't know this was, great. I heard radio, and I go, good. I don't have to shower. I don't have to. I don't have to pay my rent, and then I come in. Of course,
this is fan. We are in the major leagues. It's Fox News, yeah. And part of the reason this studio is so gussied up is it does make me look more credible than I am. But that's by
it
design,
because
you bring
works.
On like lawmakers and stuff, and they're like, "Oh, this guy's like a serious broadcasting background."
No, I'm not at all. I actually, I have respect for you for the first time.
Yeah, you're not supposed to. That's a shame on you. Do you know what my broadcasting background was prior to this?
No, what was it?
When I was 5, we used to hold my sister's underwear out the window on a hockey stick and yelled to the neighborhood that we had Susie Fela's underwear.
Oh, and back to the cancer update.
There we go. So
they're putting in the teleprompter. They go back to the cancer. Yeah, stop talking about the little girl's panties.
But no, she was of age. She was of age. My sister was older than me. But the point is, when I was 5, we used to like hold a hockey stick out the window and be like, "We got Susie Fela's underwear."
Oh,
that's my
dude.
Only. That's my only formal broadcasting experience.
I think because you had a sister, you brought in your comedy audience. I think.
Yeah.
You know.
You
brought in everything.
That's what you tried.
I didn't have one. I had 2 brothers.
You see, but
one came out of the closet. So he came out as racist, but he's still a little gay. And so I had that. I had a gay brother and a straight brother. So I had the whole gamut.
You ran the table on that one. Tyler Fisher's here. We're excited. You were on the road.
You're not recording this, are you?
You stop it. You were on the road.
Don't you love that one during podcasts? We know you're recording. Every frame. Are we? Yeah.
Is this the thing?
Are we recording?
Is this right now?
What do you think
we're
doing?
Part of it? You want to know what
turning
happens?
Turning into Seinfeld. Well, what's going on? Of course we're recording. We're at the podcast. We're recording.
Do you ever run into Seinfeld at clubs around town?
I got a great story about that.
I can't wait.
This
Go
isn't
ahead.
Even a setup.
All right.
I mean, I'm a huge Seinfeld fan. And I was at West Side Comedy Club.
Okay.
It was my first time there. They gave me my first spot. 8 people in the crowd having the worst night of their lives. And so I get on stage, and then in walks Jerry Seinfeld.
Damn right he did.
And I'm so obsessed with him, I knew his silhouette.
Yeah.
I just saw the silhouette, the Yankees hat, the suit. And he sits back and he leans it back on the bar because he'll watch comedians.
Yeah, he will.
And I'm having a total mental breakdown. And because I do impressions, I go, do I break it out? Do I start just doing it? Because he's up next.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm going, how do I play with the crowd here?
Uh-huh.
You know, what if Seinfeld came in? Would you enjoy the show then? And so they never light me. And I do my big closer because I'm trying to impress Jerry.
Yeah, yeah.
And they don't light me. And they don't light me. And I see him checking his watch. And then he walks out. I did a half hour. Turns out he comes in the club and says, "Can I have a bottle of water?" And they had no bottled water.
Stop it.
So the woman running the show, who's running the light, goes to a grocery store
to get a bottle
to buy his preferred bottle of water. And by the time she comes back, he's gone. She's yelling at me. She's yelling at everybody. And I ran up onto the street. And I'm just going, "Jerry!" Like, it was like he was Batman. He was just gone.
Now, this is interesting because you are also the guy who wrote Kramer's stand-up act.
I did. I was his ghostwriter.
It's only one word in the act for some reason.
Yeah, yeah. Now, I got fired for the N-word, but that was non-vaccinated. That was the word which is way worse now.
Nowadays, way worse. Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
Tyler Fisher's here. We're yucking it up. We're having a good time. So I love this idea. You didn't find him on the street.
No.
He ran down the Gotham, I assure you. He's always
and
at Gotham.
And that was the Batman thing I'm doing. He's like, "Gotham."
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's funny. But he goes down there. So he'll go down to Gotham. What's funny is whenever I see him there, he is, I believe rightly so, very concerned with people putting the bite on him. Like, "Hey, I got a screenplay. Hey, I got a thing. Hey, whatever." So he gets out of a club, though, with a rate of speed. It's only matched once in my experience, and I'll explain that story to you in a second. But he gets off that stage.
He wants
like,
to get out of there.
Yeah, yeah, but he's gone.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? And there's a Porsche running or whatever the hell he happens to be in. Gone. Okay, gone. He doesn't even drive. By the way, he once told me he doesn't drive stick. Most of these are automatics.
Wow.
Because he wants to get away from us so bad.
Yeah.
He can't even chance missing a gear.
He's got like a butler pushing it already, so he can run in like Fred Flintstone. Yeah.
And he gets out of there. Okay. The only thing that can compete with it, and I was privy to this last year at the White House Correspondents Dinner. This is a great
story. Biden, right? Biden takes an hour to get out of there.
Oh, it's amazing. An hour to get in.
It's car here. Come on. It's a car.
Can I give him credit, by the way, at the Correspondents Dinner? Because obviously he's working off a prompter. He actually knows how to read jokes off a prompter better than his speeches are terrible.
Yeah.
But
no, he does land them. Yeah,
he knew to enunciate funniest word last. You can explain that to him.
Yeah,
and it's almost like they should just write his speeches with an emphasis word at the end because he knows to keep his cadence where it needs to be. And I mean this as presidents delivering jokes go off a prompter. Mm-hmm. I would I give him like an A- for that. I thought he did good. Like I'm not, you know.
I always thought Trump should hire a writer. I like. Dude, you give me $500,000, I'll write his jokes for him.
What he should do is just commit. So when he was running in 2016 at the Al Smith dinner, mm-hmm. they had written him good material, but he didn't bother to read it and prep it.
Yeah.
So he just read it like, it's all crap. And then one of the jokes about Melania got a laugh, so then he got into it because he was like, oh, yeah, he started to believe in it.
Yeah.
but if he committed, he'd be good. Biden, to his credit, committed. But here's the story. White House correspondents dinner.
He committed to ruining the country, Jimmy. That's what he's doing. He's committing. He can commit to destroying what I made so great. So great. How much cocaine is he doing with that little sniff in between every...
I was told it's Adderall.
I'm like, did they put a little on the microphone? So we're going to really make the country great.
Tyler Fisher's here.
Dang, we're here.
That's Tyler Fisher. It's not Trump. It's such a good Trump. It's so good. And the reason it's good, and I want you to get credit for this, is a lot of people who during the pandemic got big just lip-syncing Trump. There was a girl, it was like Sarah Cooper or whatever.
She got her own special on Netflix.
I'm sure she's delightful, but she was lip-syncing to Trump.
I did open mics with her.
I'm sure you did.
Yeah, she was lip-syncing.
Yeah, she was lip-syncing then too. She was doing karaoke.
She was doing Carlin bits.
Yeah. That's even
the seven
funnier.
Words you can't say.
So
crap, piss, I can't say them. Now I can't say them.
Yeah, you can't say them. But I love this. So she was doing she was lip syncing and it blew up because there was that much anti-Trump like venom.
Seinfeld actually co-signed on it.
Is that true?
Loved it.
I don't doubt that.
He was like, it's brilliant. It's so simple.
He's also trying.
I'm like, come on, man.
No.
You're like a joke writer.
Yeah, but it's not because what happens to a lot of these guys, this happened to Chris Rock, okay? Chris Rock's tangerine or tambourine or whatever it is, mm-hmm. that special is a turkey. His last special's really good because he wrote more of his last
the
special.
The live one?
Yeah.
I didn't see it, okay. But I heard it
wasn't
good.
The one where he talks about Will Smith is good enough, okay? But the one before it is like very I don't want to use the word woke, but I guess what he was trying to do, and Paul McCartney does this on the music side, sometimes they
You know, sometimes it just happens, Jimmy. You know, it just comes out of me, you know.
It sounds like I'm setting you up like we do a road routine together.
I'm just schizophrenic.
I know, and I love it. I love it. It's a flesh prison. You're trapped in that thing, and away it goes. So understand that. McCartney, I've seen him at times defer to younger artists. Like he didn't, because they want to be hip and they want to seem like they're at the cutting edge of what's cool now.
Yeah, of course.
So that's why Jerry signs off on something like that Sarah Cooper atrocity.
Yeah.
When there are people doing like legitimately brilliant Trump impressions. And
they would be at the top. The Beatles, I always think like who would be canceled? They would be canceled.
Absolutely.
John would be like, you know, the Yellow Submarine, you know, they said it was racist, you know. Yellow was some sort of Asian attack, you know.
But he married in. He had skin in the game.
It just sort of came to me, you know. But Ringo's been canceled. He grazed a butt on the subway, you know. They canceled him, so.
They'd be done.
It'd be over.
Yeah.
So you understand that being the case, but that's why he signed off on something like Sarah Cooper, is they wanted to be like hip and of the fashion. So what happened is two Chris Rock specials ago, because Chris Rock had specials in the 90s.
I love how you measure your time in Chris Rock specials.
Sometimes.
I met her six Chris Rock specials.
I have such a good Chris Rock story, and I didn't even get to my speed exit story, which okay. I'll get to. One day so Chris Rock, two specials ago, this is all you need to know. He had his 90 specials written by Louis C.K. and Wanda Sykes. Like Bigger and Blacker and Bring the Pain.
They wrote his specials?
Yeah, they wrote for
him. Whoa!
And they did great, and those are great specials.
Wow.
He had a special that he let Michelle Wolf write.
Mm-hmm.
And she, or executive produced Tangerine, whatever it was called.
Yeah.
That
well,
I
that had, was the law. You had to have a female.
You had
or
to have somebody at that. Because it was in Me Too when he did it, for real. And I thought that was a turkey. I thought whoever worked on the last one was pretty good. The Chris Rock story, quickly, comic strip live, getting ready to go. I'm on next. Lee Camp is supposed to be on before me. So I go into the sound booth looking for Lee Camp at the comic strip. Where's Lee Camp? That mother ever owed me money. Lee
that's
better
you.
Give me my money. You know what I'm saying?
That's you saying that?
That's what I'm yelling out, okay? That's what I'm yelling out. And in the green room is not Lee Camp. It's Chris Rock because he's waiting to do a drop. And he just jumps in. And
oh.
So there's nothing to do now but commit to the voice. I'm like, what, you saying he ain't in here? You know what I mean? That dude left? You know, he's like, And he's just like, who are you? I'm like, oh, I know your brother Tony. What's up? I was looking for Lee Camp. How funny is this?
Oh, dude.
So we made some small talk. He wound up being really cool. But can I give you the
you have to keep doing that every time you run into Chris?
Him now?
Yeah, hey, what's up, Chris? What's
I gotta act
up,
like that's how I talk.
He goes, that really is him.
Oh wow, this guy has some type of an affliction. So last year, the White House Correspondents' Dinner, because we're competing with Seinfeld's ability to exit a crowded room now. Okay, this is someone who has really been blessed with the gift of speeds. Okay. There's 7,000 people need to leave this dinner, okay? Mm. And I am so resigned to my fate as not getting out of there for the next 2 hours because I've been there before that I when the dinner ends, I'm not leaving. I'm in my phone. I'm sending my wife texts of what's going on there and showing her the room. And I'm not even going to humor the idea that I can get through this crowd.
Yeah.
When all of a sudden I get this massive Dikembe Mutombo hand on my wrist. And I turn around and I hear Caitlyn Jenner go, come on, sweetie, I'll get you out of here. And she goes into full 1972 Olympics mode and is physically stiff-arming human beings and dragging me by the arm.
Shock putting you.
And people, because it's D.C., and they're never going to give a trans person a hard time, are just taking the beating. And she got me out of a room in like 0.6 seconds and shoved at least 25 people. It was one of the greatest
experiences of my life.
You need
to write a movie just to write that scene
just
in.
So you can get Chariots of Fire going in the background.
Write a movie around that.
It was sick, though. She's like, come on, I'll get you out of here. And just gone.
Oh, man.
Come on.
You do a great Caitlyn Jenner,
that's for the well, in more ways than one. I kid. Quick break. We're back with Tyler Fisher.
Don't go anywhere. Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla. We'll be right back.
It is Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla. We are in the bottom of the ninth. Word has just come my way, courtesy of Sean Hannity, that I will not be appearing on our regular Friday night show because of this Kate Middleton situation. People are not happy.
Wow.
People are not
Even
happy.
Even Tucker's laughing at it.
They're not happy. They're not happy.
Oh, Jimmy.
They're not happy. But I can confirm I will be hosting Fox News Saturday night, tomorrow night, 10 o'clock, just like always. So there you go. To be clear, that cheer was for me, but I don't doubt there's one left for you as well.
Well, you know, I would say tune in, but look at the ratings, and we have the ratings right here, Jimmy, and I'm looking at the ratings, and when you have this guy on Tyler Fisher, tylerfisher.com, he's touring everywhere. The ratings are good. We have 6 billion people listening right now, right? And then people are gathering around their radios. They're gathering like they used to do, right? Like they used to do. And they're bringing residuals. We call that, we say residual listeners, right? Nobody will, Democrats won't know what that is. But billions are tuning in.
They will, I laugh. I think I told you this when I was guest hosting for Greg, that your Trump impression is so good, you're probably on an FBI watch list.
Yeah, dude, I know. Default. I'm like so afraid.
They've probably just started monitoring phone calls thinking it's him.
Yeah.
I hope you don't call your friends and do impressions because you'd be on a watch list for sure.
I do the Trump when I date like a super liberal, like super left-wing girl. I don't even care about a woman's politics, but they care about mine, that's for sure.
Yeah.
So they're cutting out half the dating pool. Whatever. I can go out all night. TikTok, I think, should be a dating app for women in their late 30s, by the way.
It is.
But I've done it to women on dates because they might not even know I'm a comedian, mm-hmm. and they're hating Trump. And I go, yeah, he's so sad. Isn't he so sad?
But let's move it to the bedroom and let's make love great again. And then they'll just like lose it.
They'll lose it.
It's TylerFisher.com. Is that what they need to know?
Tyler Fisher. F-I-S-C-H-E-R. Yeah, touring the country.
F-I-S-C-H-E-R. Yes. You go see Tyler Fisher on the road. Do you know where you're heading next?
Yeah, I'm heading to Oklahoma, Tulsa.
Ooh, to the comedy club there?
April 3rd. Yeah.
Listen,
Bricktown.
Give it great. I love Bricktown. I've been there. If you're listening on KRMG down in Tulsa, Levi May and the gang. Go over
the
and
next
see my
day,
man Tyler Fisher.
Then Oklahoma City and then Albany, Syracuse, Boston.
Love it. We got coverage
Rhode
in
Island.
All those areas. Go see Tyler Fisher or you're dead to me.
It's going to be so great.
The show is over. Pay up. Get out. Be a Republican. Be a Democrat. Just don't be a...
The Fox News Rundown, a contrast of perspectives you won't hear anywhere else. Your daily dose of news twice a day. Featuring insight from top newsmakers, reporters, and Fox News contributors. Listen and subscribe now by going to foxnewspodcasts.com. Listen to the show ad-free on Fox News Podcast Plus, on Apple Podcasts, Amazon Music with your Prime membership, or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.